Baz Hashem is Baruch. We begin Perek Shleisha Asa, the 13th and final Perek in the Hilchas Gerushin, Laws of Divorce, in the Rambam Sefer Noshim, where the Rambam continues and rounds off the conversation he started in the previous Perek regarding the trustworthiness of witnesses regarding the death of the husband. So Rambam begins Halacha Aleph regarding the discussion, the conversation regarding the woman's testifying when a woman testifies regarding the husband's death. Says Ram Aloch Alf, if the woman says to her husband, Gerishtani b'fnei pleini u'pleini, that you divorced me in front of such and such a person, and then these witnesses come along and they contradict her. Okay, that's the first part of the story. Then she and her husband, they go away, and there's peace in the world. And that's a chiddush, as we're going to shortly see in the next halacha. Although there's peace in the world, and for sure, as we'll see, that there's concern that she's not necessarily trusted when there's war in the world. But even if there's peace in the world, which generally would trust her more, in this case, if Bova Amisha came along and she said, oh, Mace Bali, my husband died, which, as we said in the previous paragraph, generally the woman is trusted regarding her husband's death. Here, Ain in the Mendes, she's not believed. Why? Shizu Huchzuka Shakranas, this woman has already been established as a liar. As we start off the halacha, the woman said to her husband, you divorced me in front of these witnesses, and they said, what are you talking about? Those two people came along. He says, it's not true, we never did such a thing. So since she's already established to be a liar, obviously trying to do whatever it takes just to leave the dominion of her husband, and therefore we don't believe her when she says her husband died. Now, let's say a witness comes along, and he just testifies that her husband died, which we also said in the previous paragraph that generally we could believe one witness. Even over here, like Tinasi Shnali get married, Shem, he Sachra, I said, maybe she hired him, because since we established that she's a liar, she'll do whatever it takes to go ahead and get away, and maybe she even hired a witness to testify falsely. Now, then this is, if she did get married, like Tate, she doesn't have to leave in that case, because Shariyash La'ed, ultimately, there is another person, which we don't suspect as much as the person himself, and since she has a witness, so if she did get married, she doesn't have to leave. Halacha Beis. Now here's where it shifts a little bit from the previous parak. So to let's say, because the previous parak we had been speaking about if there's peace in the world, there's peace in the couple. Previous halacha we spoke about there's peace in the world, but there's not peace with the couple. We see she's trying to get away from him. And this halacha is, let's say, there was war in the world. Ubaba Amran, she came along and she said, Meiz Bali Bamulchama, my husband died at war. So in the menace, she's not believed. Where there's these two variables, peace in the world and peace in the couple. And previous parak was speaking about shalom between them and in the bigger world. Previous halacha was talking about there's peace in the world, but there's discord between them. Here we're talking about, even if there's peace between the husband and wife, but there's war in the world, then we don't rely on her. Why not? Shema tismech daita, because maybe she's going to rely on advarim shirubim lamisa. She's going to rely on the statistics that people generally die. But Tammy, she's going to say, oh, Mace. Yeah, she's going to say that he died, thinking, so to speak, that he really died. For example, her husband was in the line of people. The people before him and the people after him all died, and that she knows and she verified. She's going to say, if the ones before him died and the ones after him died, she's presuming that for sure he died. That's why she did not believe. Even if she says, she says, he died in the war and I buried him, where although we don't presume her to be a liar, because she doesn't have any discord with him, she had a happy marriage with him, but since she's so frightened, she's saying over the story where she's so, we don't know what happened to her psychologically, maybe she thinks that it was her husband, and maybe she thinks that it was really someone else, but she thinks it was her husband that she buried. We don't even believe her that. But if she says he died on his bed, meaning not in the war itself, meaning it could have been wartime, but it was in the home, then she is believed because we don't have a situation of Bahal over there. And we presume what she's saying is true because she had a happy marriage with him, and then we would believe her. Halacha Gimel. Let's say Lahuchzukum Muhammadayim. Let's say we didn't know that in the larger world where there she's saying that they were, that there was some war. Ubava, she comes along and she says, Muhammad Isabam complained, there was a war in that place. There was fighting. Umaysab Muhammad died in the war. She shouldn't initially get married, because ultimately, we're suspecting that, hey, if we know that, yeah, based on what she's saying, but we know that there was a war, she might think and project that he probably died, so we don't really trust her. But then this is Leiteitza, ultimately, if she does get married, she doesn't have to leave, which it's a question in the Gemara, and since we don't know, initially not, but if she did get married, we don't make her leave, because ultimately it was all based on her testimony that we know there was a war, and she's the one that's saying that's problematic, and therefore what she's saying, but he did die, should permit her to get remarried. Halacha Dalad, V'chein Yishu Shomer, so took the woman said, Meis Bali Tachas Mapayas, my husband died beneath a pile of rubble, a building collapsed on him. Say, in the menace. Again, she's not believed because she thinks for sure he died, but again, not necessarily so. Let's say there was a swarm of snakes or scorpions, and she said, "Oh, the snake or the scorpion bit him and he died." Again, in the manner she's not believed, not because she means to lie, because she's probably thinking, what's the odds? For sure he died, like people generally die from the snakes, but again, since she doesn't know definitively, it's not enough to permit her to marry, and we should still presume that she's a Eshesesh. Let's say, the house or the cave that we were in was all smoked up because of a fire. Who made when you know, he died in the fire and I was saved. It's ain't the man that she did not believe. Again, just like a miracle happened for her, maybe a miracle happened for him. Let's say it was a famine year, a year of a hunger, and she said, my husband died. And in the man, she's not believed. And again, because she's thinking, oh, for sure he died from hunger. But let's say Mesu Kvartiv, let's say he died and I even buried him. Oh, here in this case, Nemanah, she's believed because a famine is not as tumultuous as a war to flee. It's not so much as a fear of dying, and most definitely, she could have taken the time to bury him, contrasted by a war, even if she says he died and I buried him, she might have been so overcome psychologically by war fear, and therefore she might have thought that she buried him, but not, in contrast to a famine, she says she actually buried him, then she's believed. Halacha Vav, Amar Letzer, she said, Nafaleinu Goyim Elistim, that non-Jews or bandits, they attacked us. Hu Nerig Vani Nitzalti, he was killed and I was saved. Here in the Menach, she's believed. Why? She'in Darkam Lagas Anashim, because generally, these bandits, they don't kill women, so that, Kedei Shenayma, so that, as if we should say, oh, Kishem Shenetzel Hi Kach Netzel Hu, as we said in the previous Halacha, so wait a second, just like she was saved, so too he would be saved. It's not true, because there is logic to tell us that women are different, because generally the bandits, they don't kill the women, they kill the men. And therefore, it makes sense what she's saying, that she was saved and that he was killed, and therefore she's believed. Halacha Zayin, let's say there was an epidemic in the world, and she says, Meis Bali, my husband died. Here in the men that she's believed, why? Because it's very simple, it's well known by people, in the year of an epidemic, this one could die and this one could live. Meaning, it's possible that it could die in an epidemic. Strong young men, elderly, sick people could be saved. According to this, we're not concerned that maybe she's going to rely and say, the majority of people in epidemic, they're going to die. No, most definitely she's not going to say unless she knows definitively, unless she actually saw, because the fact that he was there at the epidemic, that doesn't mean anything, because younger people could die from an epidemic and older people not, and therefore she's not going to presume it to be, and therefore if she says definitively, then we believe her. Again, because it does not have the concern of saying out of umdina, as we had in the previous halachas. And like halacha, halacha chesram continues regarding different types of situations of indirect testimonies and differentiations in the testimony. Says Rambam, Kvar Manu already said in the previous parak in Lachat Hazvav, She'ed Mepi'ed, even generally certain laws of testimony are limited. We had certain leniencies we said here regarding that of a iguna, a woman that we want to be able to remarry, that even a witness saying over from a different witness, is kashle, this isha is valid for a woman, for the testimony for a woman to get remarried. Now, says Rambam, when do we say this? That the witness you're hearing from was someone who had intelligence, she may explain that person died. For example, even if it's Eber Shefcha, who themselves are not valid as witnesses, but the maid servant or the slave are intelligent people. But if you heard from someone mentally deranged, or maybe cutting for a minor, then in the maid, then you can't testify. You cannot rely on them, what you're saying over from them, that the husband had done. Now, however, in Halacha test, But let's say, let's say you heard from a bunch of children that they were saying, oh, Ach Shabonim has been playing, we just came back from this eulogy. This and this, the eulogizers were there, and that sage was there, that person was following after the coffin. This is what they did for the person's coffin, by the levaya, by the funeral. Then you could testify from what these children were saying based on the words that they were saying. Or things similar like that. And then you could marry the wife. It's just in general, as a regular testimony, you can't believe. But if this was something that they were saying over the story, similar to the halacha of Masich Lefitumai of a guy, then we could rely and marry off the woman. Halacha Yud. Yisrael Sha'amar, if a Jew said, Haraktis plainly, I killed that person. So they can marry off the wife based on what he's saying. As the Rambam explains the interesting halachic analysis of this case. Because a person cannot make himself into a wicked person. In other words, we don't believe the person himself that he killed that person because a relative is not believed to say testimony. There's no greater relative to a person than him himself. And therefore, he's not believed to say that something on himself that he killed someone else. Because actually, if he would be believed, then he would be a wicked person because he was a murderer. And by default, then they wouldn't be believed to say the testimony for the woman because the Torah says in Shemeshchav Gimel, don't make a hand with a wicked person to be a witness. Now, and therefore, Vahari Hei Shemes. So, based on the halachic principle of what's called Pagin and Dibur, which means that we actually splice his words, actually we explain that when he said he killed that person, we don't believe him that he was a murderer because Adam Karvat's Latzma, and he's not believed regarding himself. So what is he saying? He was not believed regarding that. We say that he was with the murderers, but he himself didn't murder. So it comes out, she's permitted to get remarried because to the fact that the husband was killed, that is believed to say. The fact to say that he did it, that is not believed. And therefore he's a kosher aid. And he have one witness saying that the husband died, and therefore she's permitted to get remarried. Now, Halacha Yurav, the Rambam goes back also regarding the testimony of a non-Jew. So it says, Kvar Man really said in the previous parak on Halacha Design, that the non-Jew that was innocently saying over a story, Masin al-Pib, you could remarry the wife based on what he's saying. So Kitzad explains how so. If a non-Jew was talking and he was saying, oh, you're playing the Shemes, woe to that person that he died. Come on, you know, what a beautiful person. Become a Tevos, I mean, what good he did to me. Or he was just talking, schmoozing, and saying, when I was on the road, that person that was journeying with us, he just collapsed and he died. But the man says, and we were wondering such a thing, how did he suddenly die? Or things that are similar to like this, which that illustrates that his intention was not to say any testimony. He was just talking about, wow, how could that have happened? Again, then we believe the non-Jew that the husband died. And the halachic basis, if a Jew heard from a non-Jew who is innocently talking about it, so he could testify that he heard from the non-Jew, and the wife could get married based on what he's saying. Now, but when do we say this all? There was no rationale for an excuse why the non-Jew might have made up a story. So we have no reason to believe that, so we believe what he's saying is true. Because he's not coming to testify and try to distort the law. But if there's some type of excuse why the non-Jew would say what he's saying, meaning, even though it's not true, then maybe his intention was some ulterior motive. Let's say he was telling some person, you better do like this and this for me. This non-Jew is saying that I don't kill you like I kill that person. Oh, that's not instantly talking. His intention was just to intimidate this person. So maybe he's lying, so we don't believe him. So we heard from a non-Jewish court that said, "Haragnu pleini, we killed, we executed that person." And in the month, they're not believed. Because they'll try to establish a status for themselves falsely. Again, just to intimidate the public. Anything that's similar to this, which we have a reason or rationale to believe that maybe it's not true, then we don't believe the non-Jew. If a non-Jew was initially innocently saying of a story. Now, even if suddenly he's telling the story and they start asking him questions, and then they start investigating him until he tells them all the whole story, he still believed, and we can marry her off based on what he's saying, because although ultimately he realizes, hey, this must be a story over here, so maybe we would think he's lying. No, since he first started off his story innocently, so believe what he's saying. Now, Alakat HaZvav, the Rambam continues regarding the way to inspect the absoluteness of the testimony regarding the death of the husband. Says Rabbi Kavar Haidanu, we read it, let it be known in the previous parak Halachat Hazvav, Sha'id Shamar, if the witness says, Shamati Shemais Plain, says, I heard that that person died. A fellow Sham Misha, even if he heard from a woman, Shasham Ebed, heard from a slave, here's a Kashla Eidis Isha. Again, it's valid for the testimony to marry off a woman, and she can get married based on what he's saying. But if let's say the witness or the woman or the slave is saying, Mais plainly, that person died. Says, I saw that he died. Oh, you saw? Then Shoyon, I said, then we ask him, Hey Chrisa, how did you see? How do you know he died? Imhate Bidavabar, then if the person is going to testify something that's clear, so Neman, they believe. But if they're testifying something, this is where it relates back to the halachas opening up this parak, which the majority of those type of people die, but some of them do survive. Now it's possible that this person survived, as we're going to say in the next halacha, then will not let the woman get remarried. Because we can't testify a person that he died, only if they saw definitively that he died, and there's no doubt, as Rambam says, halacha design kates at how so. They saw somebody fall into the sea. Even if he's drowned in the large ocean, you cannot testify that the person died. Maybe they got out of the ocean some other place. Now, let's say they fell into gathered water. Could go in, for example, a pit, a ma'or, or a cave, that a person could stand and see all the perimeter that's all around, what's called Mayim Sheshel Masayif. There's an end for it. You would see if the person would come out. And they waited for the amount of time that a person life should give out, which is 3 hours. And they didn't come up. Then you could testify that the person died. You can marry off the woman based on that. And so if they threw him into the ocean, and they sent a net after him, and then out of the ocean came a limb, which they could recognize with definitive signing that this is a limb of the person that was thrown overboard, and that it's not possible that that limb was taken off from that person that he should still survive, that he died, and they can marry off his wife. As Ram continues similarly in Halacha Yitzayin, let's say they saw a person fell into a pit of lions or leopards or kiyotzim and things similar to that. So in that case, in love, they cannot testify in him. Maybe the animals didn't need him. Let's say he fell into a pit of snakes and scorpions, where when he falls on them, the pressing on them, they get upset and they harm him. Or to a fiery furnace. Or to a boiling pot that's filled with hot wine or oil. Or if the two pipes by a person's neck, his esophagus and the food pipe and the windpipe, the trachea and the esophagus, or even the majority of it was cut. And even if the person got up and fled, they could testify that he's dead. Because those situations we described, for sure the person is going to die. And so to anything that's similar to like this, that a person cannot survive, rather the person is immediately going to die very shortly. In those type of situations, they could say that he died, even though they didn't actually see him when he died. However, let's say they saw a person hanging. And the birds, the vultures, were eating from him. Although they pierced him, or they shot arrows at him, just if all that's what you saw, you cannot testify that the person died. Now, but let's say you saw the birds eating from a place where the person's soul will leave him. Let's say you saw the birds pecking away at his brain, or his heart, or even they may have, or from his intestines, then the person can testify that the person died, because then for sure the person is going to die. Halacha test. Let's say one witness says, I saw him die at war, or in that building that collapsed, or that he drowned in the ocean and he died. Or he's testifying regarding something that majority of people die when such a story happens. So here he's a little different than the wife, but again, we have to be concerned that maybe he's presuming that the person died, but not necessarily. Imam Afi says, I buried him. So here he's believed to say that, yeah, because why he's not like a woman that type of situation. He's trusted and she can get married based on what he's saying. But he didn't say, I buried him like Tanasi, she can't get married, because we're suspecting that maybe he's just assuming that's what happened. But if she gets married, like Tanasi, she doesn't have to leave Again, because by the witness, we're not really so concerned that they're projecting that. And if they said that they saw him die, then we believe after the fact that he died. Halacha chaf. So to a woman that one witness came along and testified to her, that her husband drowned at sea, or water that has no end, meaning that you can't see if they got out somewhere else. But he never came out. And people already forgot about him. And no one remembers him anymore. So it would seem like that, yeah, the husband died. But again, it's not a definitive death, because these are things that people presume the person died, but not necessarily. How is it late to Nasa, late to Zu? The woman should not get married based on this testimony. Like we explained in the previous halacha, and even if two witnesses testify this, again, she can't get married, because since they're just saying that he drowned, not that he died, we don't know. Maybe he got out somewhere else. Now, Venices, but if she did get married, loitates again, she doesn't have to leave. Again, like we said, because by the witness, if they said that he died, then we could believe, and also it's something that we're presuming that he died, so we don't have to remove her from the person that she got married to. Now, even if a guy, a non-Jew, is instantly saying that the man drowned at sea, and therefore, again, we said we can marry her off based on what he's saying, she doesn't have to leave, because again, even though all he said was she drowned at sea, and really initially you shouldn't, because we don't know for sure definitively that the person died. Again, once she got married, she doesn't have to leave. Now, Chacham Shari Lasilik, it's Chila. And if a sage actually initially permits her to get married based on this, but nonetheless, we excommunicate him, because again, initially, just saying that a person drowned is not definitive. We don't know if the person got out somewhere else. Again, after the fact, in those type of situations where it's not the woman who's overcome with emotion, okay, if they say that this is what happened, then she doesn't have to leave, but initially, we don't allow that, and we excommunicate a sage that permits her because of this. Halacha Chaf Aleph, the Rambam continues regarding how to be able to ascertain that this is the person that died. Let's say Metzu'uhu Hargames, they found the person at question, this husband, killed or that he's dead. So, Impadachta, if it's forehead, Vechotma, and his nose, Ufartzapanov, and his facial features, Kayyaman, are still intact, Vikiruhu Vehenshahu, plainly, and they recognize him that he's that person, so Midlab, they can testify regarding him that he died. Vimnitl Echmail, but if one of these features are missing, even though they have defining characteristics in his body, and in his garment, even if there's a wart, some birthmark, still, we cannot testify. Maybe there's someone else that shares those characteristics, but in contrast to the face, which is unique to every single person. Now, but then, when we say that you can testify on his nose and his facial features, is only if it's within 3 days when he was executed, or after that he died. But it's already 3 days later, they cannot testify on him, because the facial features start to change, and the fact that it looks like this might have been someone else, but it just changed after 3 days. Let's say he drowns at sea, and the ocean washes him up on dry land. So here's the Rambah, even if it's many days after that he drowned, if they recognize his face and his nose, they actually could testify that it's the husband who died. Because the person's facial features do not change in water, but only after a long period of time, because actually what happens is that the water shrivels and it actually freezes the facial features and actually does not allow it to bloat and change. Now, but if let's say it was delayed after it was washed up in dry land, after it was thrown out of the sea for Yud Bei Shois, or some have different gear Shois over here, but it was some hours after it was already thrown up on dry land, v'nitpach, and he's bloated, then they cannot testify on him, because ultimately now he did change. Says around when they analyze his features, because they lack here to recognize him, to testify on him, they could check him, and they could look at him, even at nighttime, to the light of a candle, or to the light of the moon. Halacha of Gimel. Row echer emin merachik. Let's say they see someone standing at a distance. He says he is that person, the son of that person, or that person from that place. He says that a snake bit him, he's going to die. Now they get there and they find him that he's different from who he claims he was, and they don't recognize him. Essentially, they can still marry him, his wife, off, because he said he's that person, and could be he was bitten on the face and that his face was bloated and changed from what it used to be. Halacha of Dal, let's say someone comes along and he says, Amali Bezdin, he says, the court told me, or certain people told me, When you go to that place, Emelem, tell them Shemes Yitzchok ben Michal, that Yitzchok ben Michal, from that town, that he passed away. You know, go to, let them know this. So the agent comes along and he tells us this. Now, Vashlich and Yidim, who is there, the agent himself doesn't know who this is. He just got the report that he should tell this over. So, since we know such a person that has this type of a name, and we don't know there's some other person with the same name, his wife is permitted. We don't say that maybe there's another Yitzchok ben Michal that has the same name that died. Since we only know this person, we presume it's him. And like we said, because of Mipi Eirechad, we could allow the woman to get remarried. Halacha Fei. Let's say a Jew and a non-Jew leave from here to go to another place. The guy, the non-Jew himself, comes back and he instantly says over, he says, the man that had left with me, the Jew, that he left from here, he died. So Messina says they can marry off his wife. Even if the non-Jew doesn't even know who that person was, just that they were traveling together. But this only if he says that they buried him. Because since he doesn't recognize him, and he also didn't say who his name was, he's not believing until he says, I buried him, because we're concerned that maybe he was presuming and just relying that it was that person. But if he actually recognized him and he mentions his name, then as long as he says that he died, even if he doesn't say he buried him, would be sufficient. So let's say 10 people together left from one place to another place. They masrum b'koiler, and they were tied with chains. Or they were tied with ropes, heavy ropes that were being dragged by camels. Or things like that. The guy instantly was saying over that the 10 people that were taken from one place to another place. And so he's saying over identifying features of the story. And we're carrying this and this. They all died. We buried them. Then you can marry off their wives. If a Jew said, that Jew that was with us died in that place. That was his features. That was some identifying features. So we don't presume and gesticulate and say, oh, Plainu, that was that person. Sounds like he's describing that person. No, we don't rely on that. Until the witness testifies that it was that person. He asks, he mentions his name, even the name of a city. Now, but if he says, there's one person left with us from that city, and he died. He doesn't mention the name. So, then we look out in that city. If that was the only person that left that city, then we know that it was that person, and even though he didn't mention who it was, then the wife could get remarried. Let's say they found in a document which was written and signed, because without a signature, the writing is not going to help at all. But it said it was signed on the document, Mis Ish Plaini Ben Plaini. That man, the son of that man, died. Or that man, the son of that man, was killed. But Nidish is Exabisa, and you could tell that this was written by a Jew. So the wife could get remarried, even though generally we don't rely on testimony from something that was written, because the Torah says, Al Pishnai made them. From what they say and not what they write, but regarding, again, as we've said many times, with the testimony of a woman to get remarried, they were lenient, as we said, even from Eid Mepi'ed, and so too Mepi'ksav. And let's say someone became mute. Ubadko, I say, but they didn't check him, just like we check someone that can't speak regarding divorcing his wife. Then it turns out the person's intelligent, he just can't talk. The cost of Shemesh Plaini, and he writes on the piece of paper that this person, the son of that person, died. So we rely on his writing, and the woman could get remarried. Now, moreover, we don't check the witnesses to allow a woman to get remarried. Bedrisha, the Chakira, different types of investigations and checks and cross analyzation of what they're saying, if it's true. Because the sages did not say regarding these witnesses to be stringent, rather to be lenient, because we want to permit the woman that's forlorn to be allowing, because if we were too strict on the witnesses, it's not going to be valid. She's going to be stuck for the rest of her life because her husband's really dead. She's not going to be able to get remarried. As Rambam concludes in the last halacha, halacha chavtes, why are we so lenient with all these halachas that have been mentioned in the past two parakim? It says, Al yikshu beinecha, it shouldn't be harsh in your eyes. The sages are being so lenient regarding the severe halacha of a rayis, of a married woman, be'edis isha, with the testimony of a woman, or a slave, or a maidservant, or non-Jew innocently talking about, or witness from another witness, from writing, we're not the way we normally investigate witnesses, like we explained in these parakim, which all this does not go regarding regular testimony, because the Rambam explains, Shleik pidu taira al hadas shnei edim. The Torah is not particular, which it does require generally the testimony of two witnesses. Ushar mishpatei edus and all the other halachas that go into the laws of testimony, ela b'dava only regarding something she'in at yochel laman aburi, that you cannot go ahead and ascertain its validity, ela mepia edim uveidusim, only based on what the witnesses are saying and regarding their testimony. Kugain, for example, she'idu sheze har gezel. Let's say witnesses testify that this person killed this other person. If not for their testimony, we might never know that this person actually murdered that person. Or Hilvezo, he says that this person lent this person money. If not for that testimony, we have no way of ascertaining that. That's we have all the halachas of edus. But something that you could verify it without what this witness is saying. And the witness cannot get his way out if what he's saying is not really true. Like this case, he says when this person died, we have the person's alive. Everyone's going to realize he's a liar because you said he's dead and he's not like, oh, somehow came back alive. Obviously, it would show that he's a liar. So, like, the Torah is not particular. Because it's very far that someone would go and give such a straight out lie regarding something that he would be exposed straight up. That's why the sages were lenient in this halacha. And they trusted one witness, from the mouth of a maidservant, from a writing, without and checking and investigating. So that the Jewish women do not remain forlorn. Which what the Rambam is coming to say over here is that, wait a second. Why, based on what we just said, should the sages be lenient? We find many places that the sages were stringent, that if it had a presumption of prohibition, like here by Eishes Ish, that we don't trust one witness, even something that could be openly revealed that the person's lying. Let's say there's a piece of forbidden fats in front of us, and a witness says that this was shumen and not chaylev. We don't believe him, even though we could ultimately reveal it and show that it was chaylev. That's what the Rambam comes to tell us, because it's special, we want to be lenient for that guna. So that's why the sages went one step further and said, even though we have a chazak of Eishes Ish, but since the person would be exposed, we're going to be lenient, and we're not going to suspect that the person is lying, and that's why we have all these leniencies regarding the laws of testifying to permit the woman to get remarried. We have concluded the laws of Gerushin with divine assistance.